Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, December the 6th. Temperatures are changing here in Dallas, Texas. I mean, they're not necessarily getting colder. It's actually going to be in the 50s today, but they will drop over the weekend. But we're going to get some rain. And that's what will change things around here. We've had an absolutely beautiful week, almost 2 weeks of beautiful weather, but it's going to be a little rainy this weekend. Well, today we're going to talk about 2020. And frankly, the insanity of making predictions 23 months in advance. And we'll get into that. I'll give you some examples of what people were predicting 23 months before the last four presidential elections, and it simply proves my point that predicting 23 months before is not a very good thing. I certainly wouldn't bet any money if I were you on predictions 23 months before the election. Before we get there are just a couple of quick thoughts about the news. Again, the Bush funeral. Today he will be buried at Texas A&M. I've been to that library. I think that's going to be a private ceremony, but I tell you, if you have never been to the Bush Library at Texas A&M, you've got to, on your next trip to Houston or your next trip to Texas, if you have a chance, particularly Houston, because it's about 2 hours from Houston, if you have not done so, it is just it's just an amazing, amazing collection of history, because so much of President Bush's life was connected to the events of history for the last 80 years. World War II, the Cold War, the collapse of the Soviet Union, terrorism, Iraq, just everything. This man was in the middle of so many things. And when you walk into that library, you're just overwhelmed by not just the photographs, of course, but by how much history this man was a part of. So he will be buried, as I say, later today at Texas A&M. If you ever get a chance, go to that library. I think you're going to appreciate what I'm saying. Well, our friend President Macron, we did a show, by the way, a couple of days ago with about France and President Macron. I would recommend that you listen to it because it was really informative. But President Macron is down to 18% approval, according to one of the latest polls. You know, when you're down to 18%, as they used to say, that's pretty much family and family. That's about all you got left when you're down to 18%. And, of course, he's down. I have a post about this over at The American Thinker. He's down because he didn't understand what raising taxes on people would do. And France is a country that is incredibly overtaxed. It is incredibly overregulated, incredibly overtaxed, and people have had it. They're done. They're probably paying more than half of their salary to support government, and they're saying enough is enough. We just cannot afford it. Literally cannot afford it. I read something that the average French person pays 2 months of their salary, of their annual salary, just in gasoline taxes. So it's simply not going to work. I don't think that Mr. Macron is going to come back from being down 18%, because I think most French people see him as totally disconnected from reality. My guess is that he'll either hang around for another 3 years at 18% or not much better, or he will resign, because how can you govern with 18% approval rating? It's pretty tough to do. I'll just put it that way. It's pretty tough to do. And one quick note here about the Mueller investigation. I don't have a clue of what's going on with that investigation. But at the same time, I've always been of the opinion that let's give the guy a chance to write the report. I don't think this is going to take a lot of Democrats where they think they're going to go. I think a lot of them are kind of waiting for Mr. Mueller to write a report so they can then turn around and impeach President Trump. I don't see that. I don't see that. Now, I'm not saying the report is going to be 100% positive for President Trump. There may be some embarrassing things. I think Professor Dershowitz the other day was saying that there's probably going to be some bad things in there. But it's not going to be criminal or illegal, which is what the Democrats are banking on. So I would, though, one more thing. I would like to see Mr. Mueller do this report as soon as possible, because I think he's hurting himself. Because every day that goes by, the expectations that he's got something are going up. I mean, when you've been investigating something for 18 months, well, people are expecting something for all the money you've spent. And I don't think he's got anything, honestly. I don't think he's got anything. And I just wish he would wrap it up and say, look, I don't have anything. Okay, I've looked into this long enough. There's nothing here. If Congress wants to pick it up, let them do it. But I don't see anything whatsoever in this investigation that is going to certainly impeach President Trump. I don't see that happening anytime soon. Let's take a little break. We'll talk about the elections when we come back. But right now, I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of those on the show information. Click on Carlos Geddes' schedule, and that'll take you to his schedule here in Dallas. We also have a link for my good friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer. If you're buying a car, looking for a car, give Duke a call. If you want to find out where Carlos is playing to have a good time and eat some good food, click on Carlos' website. Well, on this day, we remember one of the most charming female characters, or actresses, I should say, of movies and television. I'm talking about Agnes Moorehead. And for many of us, she was the mother-in-law in Bewitched. You probably remember that show. I certainly do. One of the great shows of what used to be a much better television era than what we have now, at least in my opinion. But that show, Bewitched, I think was on the late 60s and into the early 70s. My guess is that many, many people have caught on with that show on the reruns. I've watched a bunch of reruns. And she was the mother-in-law, and Samantha's mother-in-law. I think her name was Endora. And, of course, they had that beautiful little girl, Tabitha. And in the middle of all of this was poor Darren, the husband, who didn't like it when Samantha was doing some of her bewitching things. But it was a beautiful show, an absolutely entertaining show. And I think she was great in that role. She did a lot more things, but that was the role I think most people remember her for, the mother-in-law in that wonderful show, Bewitched. Well, let's talk a little bit about the elections. I mentioned I have a post coming out Friday morning where I make the case that predictions 23 months before election day, in this case the presidential election day, predictions 23 months before are just completely insane. They usually don't tell us anything. And in fact, most of the time, they turn out to be wrong. So I'm going to take you back to the last four presidential elections, and we're going to look at Election Day 23 months before. Let's begin with the election of 1992, and let's go back 23 months. That would put us December 1990, or that would be 28 years ago today. Well, at that time, President Bush, the gentleman who just passed away, he was basically getting the country ready for the Iraq War. We had the military buildup in Kuwait. There were apparently 500,000 men over on Kuwait. In fact, I remember President Bush and Mrs. Bush going to Kuwait to spend Thanksgiving with the troops, and I think they also went over there to spend Christmas with the troops. And there was a big buildup, everything, of course, pointing to a couple of UN resolutions that President Bush was waiting for. But anyway, this was the atmosphere, December 1990. If anybody had said to you, December 1990, that Bill Clinton, the governor of Arkansas, would be elected president in 23 months, nobody would have believed you. Most people didn't even know who President or Governor Clinton was. He was a relatively unknown figure to most Americans. I mean, he was probably known in Democrat circles because he was the governor of Arkansas, but he was not really that well known nationwide. And he eventually won. Nobody would have predicted that 23 months before. Now we move to Bush 2000, or the election of 2000, the one that Governor Bush won. Did anybody predict his election 23 months before? I don't remember that. Now, I do remember there was a lot of talk about John McCain running. And yes, there was some talk about Bush running. But I'm not sure that everybody thought or was convinced that he was going to win. Now let's go to the election of 2008, when Senator Obama was elected president. And let's go back 23 months before. That would be December 2006. Was anybody predicting that Senator Obama would win, or for that matter, even run for president? I mean, the fact is that at this moment in November or December 2006, most of the talk was about Senator McCain running against Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton. That was supposed to be the, you know, that was supposed to be the match of 2008, Senator McCain versus Senator Clinton. It didn't pan out that way. Did anybody know who Sarah Palin was, for example, at this moment? The answer is no. And so anybody predicting in 2006 that Senator Obama would be elected in 2008, well, I think a lot of people would have told you that you're crazy. But that's what happened. Barack Obama was elected November 2008. Now let's go to the last one. Go to the night of the 2016 election, or the one that Donald Trump won. Did anybody predict in 2014 or December 2014 that Donald Trump would be elected, or for that matter, be nominated, or for that matter, even run for president? I remember a lot of speculation, but I remember most experts telling me, even Republicans, myself included, saying that we didn't think he would get the nomination. In fact, most people didn't think that he would survive the primaries because of all the baggage, if you will, that Donald Trump carried. So my point is that making predictions 23 months before is not a good activity, because most of the time the experts have turned out to be wrong. Now, regarding 2020, more than likely, President Trump will be renominated. More than likely, he will be the GOP nominee. But even that is not 100% certain. On the Democrat side, it looks like Vice President Biden, is the flavor of the month right now. He's the one that seems to be causing a lot of conversation. But we don't even know if he's going to be the nominee. There's also, you know, I think a lot of talk about a third party. And this is what you got to watch for, I think, in 2020. This is what I believe is going to make the reelection of Donald Trump possible, a third party. And that third party could very well be Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, very successful businessman, a fellow who turned out to be a pretty good mayor by all standards. He wants to be president, and he wants to run against Donald Trump. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Ross Perot running against George Bush in 92. And if he runs against Donald Trump as an independent, he's going to hurt the Democrats. He's going to take votes from Democrats, not from Republicans. So I think what we could very well see in 2020 is Trump, let's say a Democrat, let's say Biden, and Bloomberg. And Trump would win a plurality of the vote and win most of the Electoral College. So that could happen. But again, who knows? 23 months in advance, nobody really knows. And I think that the problem right now is that there are many balls in the air. I do believe very strongly that the key to Donald Trump's or President Trump's reelection goes right through the economy. If the economy is doing well, he's going to get reelected. And of course, a lot of that has to do with, you know, the little uncertainty with the stock market and interest rates and all of that. I have no idea where this is all going to go. But I believe that that's the key to President Trump's reelection is going to be the economy. If he has a good economy, I think he'll be reelected, as most presidents tend to be reelected. But it's the economy. In the case of Donald Trump, President Trump, it'll definitely be the economy. Well, thank you for listening. You have a wonderful day. I think we're going to get some rain, as I mentioned before. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.